Hello and welcome to the Night Feed. I'm your host, Charlotte, here to bring you some comfort, camaraderie and conversation to keep you company during, let's face it, one of the toughest parts of being a new parent, the Night Feed. I'm really excited about tonight's episode as we have our very first guest on. Joining me this evening is the lovely Lisa from all the way over in New Jersey. Lisa is a mum to a baby girl who is just 12 weeks old, and she had some really wonderful insights on being a new mum, particularly around how expectations change before and after birth. So to any pregnant or new mums out there, I hope this helps. Let's jump in. Lisa, hi. Thank you so much for being my first guest on the Night Feed from all the way across the pond in New Jersey.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you reached out to me when I put a post up on social media about starting a podcast for mums. And it was basically saying that I wanted mums from all walks of life to come on the podcast. You and I have never met before. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it was great. You reached out and you were just, I think, 6 weeks postpartum at the time, I think really early on. So just for the sake of the listeners, can you just introduce yourself a little bit and tell us how old your little one is?
Great. Yeah. So my name is Lisa. My daughter Diana is 12 weeks and she is so wonderful. It's been such a journey, as everybody has told me it would be. And then, you know, you're in it and it's your own individual special journey. But no, it's been wonderful. It's been stressful. It's been magical. It's been everything. But yeah, I reached out to you when you put that on TikTok. You're looking for guests because I actually found your TikTok. I came across it on my feed and it brought me comfort, you know, and your, you know, little words there that were extremely powerful and comforting. And so I was like, oh yeah, I mean, if other women can create a community of experiencing similar experiences or different experiences and just talk about it, the more we talk as women or as a community, as mothers, even parents in general, men and women together, you know, it'll make the experience less scary, less intimidating, weird things maybe more normalized that aren't typically talked about. So when you posted that, I was like, oh yeah, that's a great idea. During the Night Feeds when you could be so in your head about so many things because it's such a, you're alone in that room with your child. Most of the time, sometimes parents wake up together, but some don't. So isn't that, you know, yeah.
Yeah, and you've hit the nail on the head. Like, that's exactly why I started the TikTok and then wanted to do the podcast, because I think there's so many women that feel alone in the night. Even if you have got a really supportive partner, it is a lonely time in the first weeks, especially when you're kind of thrown into this and we don't know what we're doing really necessarily, do we? So I think hearing from other mums like yourself can be really reassuring that actually there's a whole village of us up at night all going through a very similar thing. So. Yeah. We spoke last, like I said, we had a brief chat when you were about six weeks in, sorry. Now you're 12 weeks. Yeah. So how have you found the last 6 weeks? How are you finding? Do you have more of a routine, the sleep?
Yes. Yes, I do, thankfully. It's just something that gradually was developed between my husband and I, and trial and error, certainly, and we're still adjusting. And then, you know, the baby goes through certain progressions and growth spurts, and that kind of puts a kink in some of the routines, but it's all going with the flow, right? Yeah. And so I have to keep reminding myself that, you know, growth looks different. Growth is not linear, you know, and just it's ups and downs. And there's certainly been beautiful changes that she's taught us what she needs.
Yeah.
And, you know, and for example, last night, she has begun to start putting her thumb in her mouth. Found her fingers. But to the point where, we have her in like a little sleep suit and different versions of sleep suits. And, but she always finds her hands to her fingers, and it's weird, of course, but it wakes her up. She's up with her fingers, and she spits the binky out and wants the fingers. So that was our night last night. And I was like, okay, so we're changing the sleep suit to, you're going to be a little more constrained a little bit.
Yeah.
you know, so that helped. But it took me an extra hour to really settle her down. And poor thing, her eyes were closed as she was trying to find her fingers.
Oh, no. Oh no, this is it. Like, every night's a learning night, isn't it? And just when you think you've got it cracked, and they slept twice in a row in the night, and then they do something like that, and it's, you're back to square one almost.
I tell you, I've been blessed the past 3 weeks. She's been sleeping 9 to 10 hours a night. This is not for everybody, you know. She would go down for like 7.5 and then feed and change. Wow. And go back down. So I say to myself, you know what? It is a little adjustment. I mean, I've been blessed for the past few weeks. She's been, you know, smooth with this, but this, now she has found her fingers. So
you have to hide them again. No, it's so true, isn't it? It's like, I mean, the sleep, you have to be quite forgiving in a way that, yes, you are getting them longer periods now, but in the moment it can be like, why wouldn't you go to sleep? I need to sleep. And then you forget, actually, the last few weeks, she's been doing really well. And I should be grateful for that. And it's just one night. And
yeah. And she's learning and I'm learning. And it's talking about, you know, expectations of it all.
Yeah.
When I wake up, initially, I was like, oh, I got to go back to sleep. I'm so tired. But that would only, like, I don't know, aggravate myself more, because this is, yeah, now we have this expectation, and then when it's not happening, you become like bitter, or, you know.
So true. I still have that now with toddlers. You know, if my partner says, go and have a lie in, and I can't get back to sleep, I'm like, I need to sleep. This is my only time I've got where I'm. But the more you beat yourself up, you know, as long as you're just resting and you're having, yeah, a moment,
yeah, you know, and however long it takes to settle them down is how long it takes that night. And yeah, and I had to, for myself, change my mindset of like, listen, if this takes a half an hour, beautiful. If this takes an hour, okay. If it takes an hour and a half, this sucks, but it is what it is.
It's so true. And I think there's a lot out there on sleep and routine. There's so much for our generation now. You know, you forget our grandparents didn't have any of that. They just went off their gut or went off what their ancestors said. But for us now, I sometimes feel like on social media, it seems like everyone's got a really good sleeping baby and that they sleep through and they've got this routine in place. And for me in the early days, I didn't have a routine at all. It's just important to know that if you're having a bad night, someone else is having a bad night, you know, and not everybody's baby is a perfect sleeper. Not everybody's baby sleeps through. You know, I do see quite a lot of it. Like, once I got them in a routine, they slept through, and it's like, because I've got two older babies and I know they still don't sleep through necessarily all the time. So
yeah. And then I have to remind myself, which my husband has made it a point to me, he's like, Lisa, you've never been a great sleeper.
Really? Oh, there you go.
He can pass out like in a moment, but he's like, you know, just imagine you're tossing and turning one night.
Yeah.
Rough night. Sometimes she'll have a rough, and you know, that helps me of like, sometimes you feel like irritated because you're so tired but you can't sleep, and I saw that in her last night, and I, you know, putting myself in her position helps the a little bit.
So true. And it's important to have these conversations, because it's hard to do that in the moment, and it's hard to not just get so frustrated that you need to sleep and why aren't they sleeping. But I think if you put yourself in their shoes, you know, it's so new for them as well, isn't it? This whole sleep thing.
Yeah, they're trying to regulate themselves. They're trying to get their circadian rhythm, and
yeah,
you know, and they need you to help them. And you know, they're not trying to do anything bad to you. They don't know what they're doing, you know. And
absolutely,
so that has helped me through the night, certainly.
That's so good. Mm-hmm. I wanted to touch on, actually, there you raised the topic of expectations, and when we had a chat originally, a brief chat, you, I think, raised that as a really interesting topic. And expectations are, you know, the ones you have before you give birth and how they play out after you've given birth. So I don't know if you wanted to just touch on that a little bit and what your personal experience was with that.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, I had so many lovely assumptions of what would happen, and none of it happened. And it worked the way it was supposed to. But, you know, and I thought I was going to breastfeed. And that lasted maybe 3 weeks to a month on and off. I, you know, didn't think I was going to have emergency surgery after I gave birth, but I did. Didn't think I was, I don't know. It's just all these certain things that you have. I didn't think I was going to use a pacifier. That has been a godsend. So all these things, and it's just lowering those expectations, and it's not a bad thing. And to be able to survive, to be able to thrive, it's just whatever works. And I see my friends, a handful of my friends and family members and cousins are also raising babies Diana's age, and everybody does something different, and there's no right or wrong way. It's just whatever works for you and your baby.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely. Well said. I completely agree. I think the whole expectation things is can be quite dangerous in a way, especially if it puts more pressure on new mums to do certain things because certain friends do it or certain family members do it. And like you say, it has to work for you and your baby. And that's all you should be thinking about. If it makes you a better mum to use a dummy or a pacifier, as you say, and it makes the baby happier and it gets her to sleep, then that decision is the right decision for you. And I think that's what we really need to focus on, rather than thinking about what we thought pre-birth.
Yeah, because if you think about it, each one of us have different personalities and different preferences. Right. And we just make those decisions so easily every day. Oh, I like to wear this compared to my sister who likes to wear this or drink this type of drink or whatever. And babies are the same way. Each baby has a different personality, different preference. It's funny when I don't know overseas that they do this, but the companies will send you free stuff sometimes, or you'll purchase a bundle of something. So like one of the companies I saw gives you can buy a bundle of different types of pacifiers to figure out what your baby likes, and that is it right there.
Yeah,
so there's so many different types for a reason.
Yes. Yeah, good point. Yeah, they aren't just one entity, are they?
No, you have to try them all because you don't know. And we did, and we figured out which one she likes. And my friends' babies are all, they use different types, and it's just all different preferences.
That's a really interesting point, actually. Yeah, because I think we can look at babies sometimes as a collective. Mm-hmm. You know, and they sleep then and they do this then and they like this, but I personally have two very close in age and they're so different, their personalities, it's amazing. You know, they've both been raised the same parents, and the little quirks in their personality are brilliant to see. And I think it's remembering that every baby's different. Even when they're raised by the same parents, they like the different things, they sleep differently. And it's definitely lowering expectations, and I think that can sometimes feed into comparison as well, and comparing what stage we're at and how we're feeling and how our babies are doing. And the expectations and comparisons for new mums are really, I don't want to say dangerous, but you know, it can have a mental impact on you if your baby's not maybe reaching a certain milestone, or you know. And I think what I did was I just didn't feed into any of that. I kind of stayed away from it, and I knew as long as my baby's healthy and they're happy, then that's what happened. That's okay, you know. And if they don't walk till after they're one, they'll walk by the time they're five. You know, as long as there's nothing wrong with them, you know.
Eventually, but like you're saying, consult with your doctor or or whatever you have, you know, you seek support from. If there's a real concern, you know, figure it out eventually at their pace.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's so interesting. Some of the points you raised is definitely about expectations. And I think summing up on that, like you said, it's really important. If you are pregnant at the moment, you may have these expectations that you want to breastfeed, you won't use a dummy, and all these different things about your labour. I think we're taught a lot about birth plans. And I remember my midwife saying to me, what's your birth plan? And I think it's good that they have that in place so they know what medical care you want and what you do want. That is important. But going into birth especially, I knew if I wanted a water birth and it all to go a certain way. It wasn't, and it didn't for me. You know, I was induced, I couldn't have a water birth, and that's fine. My opinion on that and my personal preference was, as long as the baby's okay, you do what you need to do. And I was fine with that. And I think it's just making, like I said, pregnant women aware that things may change and they will change. And it's kind of the more easy you are with that,
yeah,
the smoother the transition, I think.
Yeah, it's funny you bring that up, that you're induced. I was induced as well, and I didn't think I was going to be.
Yeah.
And I was told, oh, you don't want to be induced. That's going to be the worst. It's going to be a worse. She was like, oh, no. And, but then I got to a point where I'm like, yep, get this baby out of me. Yeah,
I was the same.
Long story short, I'm glad I got induced, because it was such a more pleasant experience. Actually, we got in the car, we didn't rush, I wasn't screaming, I went, you know, it was pleasant.
Yeah, we were buying lunch just after I'd been induced in the local supermarket, and I'd been, it was like, oh, this is actually
reality TV in the hospital as I was getting my epidural and, you know, and my all my induced medication, and I'm glad I got induced. And it's funny, I was so scared of it. And also I was terrified of the epidural. I was having almost a panic attack before it got in. The needle was so small. I was told that it was super big.
Yeah.
It was super small. And, you know, God bless the nurses. She was like looking at me in the eye and breathing with me and holding my hand and really settled me. Yeah. And then, you know, it's just, we build up so many things in our head, and things are just, you asked me a question when we first met of what would you tell yourself before the experience? And like, I would tell myself, everything's going to work out the way it's supposed to, no matter what your expectations are, everything's going to be okay. And I mean that, and that's it. I mean, you have no other control of anything. Yeah. So you just go in and just hope for the best.
Yeah, I think that's such a wonderful piece of advice to anyone listening that is pregnant, you know, is that it will be okay. And, you know, no matter what you go through, how different it may be, it will be okay. And as long as you and your baby are healthy, then everything else will be fine. And taking that approach is such a good piece of advice, I think.
And then, you know, the reality of the situation, if things aren't okay, because sometimes things aren't okay, it's touch and go sometimes, you know, in that mist of chaos of birth, trusting your medical team or your support, whatever you have going on for you, and setting yourself up the best you can for success. And, you know, the hospital I gave birth at and the doctor I worked with, I was like, they're okay. I feel like they're competent. And we were. And so, because things do happen. But despite that, it'll work out the way it's supposed to.
Oh, that's so lovely. And I think that's such a lovely piece to finish on. I think that's really, if you are listening and you're about to have a baby, I think Lisa's words there are so lovely, that, you know, it will work out okay, and have trust in the people around you. And, you know, to, once you're through the initial labor and you're going on to have your baby and be with your baby, is just reducing those expectations as well. And just remembering that as long as you and your baby are thriving and that you're okay, anything that you have to do is okay for you and your baby.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And no, I think that's really lovely. And I wanted to finish on, I think we've actually, I was going to ask you, what's the one thing you wish you knew before you were new mom, but I think that was lovely what you just said. So my final question is, what's your number one tip or essential for any mums on the night feed?
Lowering those expectations, certainly, checking reality, but also embrace the joyness of every single moment of pregnancy, even before getting pregnant, during pregnancy, and after pregnancy. I felt like I was pregnant for 2 years trying to get pregnant. All these things. So, take pictures, take videos, write things down, write to your unborn child.
Love that. Write things down.
Like, embrace though. There's so many good moments. Yeah, the stressful moments, but there's so many good moments. Yeah. And just like, it all becomes, now I'm almost 3 months into this, and it was up. It's like a blur, but thank goodness I tried my best to document things. And so if you can just capture as many moments as possible, because then you're going to look back and then you're going to forget the rough nights, because you're going to go, my goodness, look at all these wonderful moments. Yeah.
And these things that I wrote down, I love that. I think about writing down, because I take pictures and videos loads, but I don't always write things down. I think that's a really lovely, really lovely tip that. Yeah. So, thank you, Lisa. You've been an absolutely amazing guest. I think you've shared some lovely insights there on being a new mum, still so early into motherhood. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me. And I wish nothing but the best for all the mothers listening. You got this, and you're a superstar, and don't forget it.
Oh, thank you, Lisa. That's amazing.
Thanks again for listening, mamas. I hope you enjoyed our chat as much as I did. If you would like to come on and share your experience, stories, or even just a few tips, I'd love to hear from you. Email me, thenightfeedpodcast@gmail.com. I wish you all a peaceful night ahead. Good night.